Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNation at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Never before have I turned on you when you look too good to me. Your beady eyes like a cut me in two and I just can't let you be. But it's a free for all and a heart of sin. You can bet your life. Stakes are high and so am I. It's in the air tonight.
Everybody, welcome to the Nation. This is Barbecue Nation with JT, along with my second-in-command, Reynolds. We're in beautiful downtown Portland today. Great weekend for barbecuing, and if you don't feel like cooking, our next guest here on the show will help you out with that. It's Richard Burt from Burt's Chuck Wagon Barbecue in Newburgh. So if you're heading out to wine country or the coast or somewhere, you're going to have to stop by. We're going to talk to... You want me to call you Richard or Bert?
Either way, I okay. Go by both.
I'll call you RB. How's that?
There you go.
our music this week is from Ted Nugent, of course, and we will try to keep that within the limits of proper society. Anyway, welcome, Richard. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So tell me the backstory on Bert's Barbecue, because we don't know each other, but we've chatted a little bit, and you were saying you started out with a food cart.
Yeah, it's to go back a little bit from that. Sure. It was my daughter's graduation. We had a big party, and my brother and I got together in our backyard, and there was about 35 people, and we made barbecue to everything with all the sides. And I looked over at him and saw how happy everybody was, and I said, and I've always wanted a food cart. And I says, I know what I'm going to do now. And he looked at me, and the very next month, I took every penny out of our savings and started building a food cart, and we were in Lafayette and McMinnville for about a year combined, and then found a great place in Dundee. Mm-hmm. And we were there 3.5 years, and we bought all used equipment. I built it myself. I learned to weld on that trailer.
Yeah.
So and then we were able to September of 2015 we were able to get into a storefront in Newburgh. So,
Very good. Yeah, it's been
a lot of fun.
So did you teach yourself to cook too?
Or
is that just a process of, kind of, as I like to say, osmosis over the years?
It's a little bit of both. I've always, for years and years, I've always been I like to go fishing and I like to smoke my own meat and make jerky and fish. And I've never really done brisket or pork. And many years ago, my youngest brother says, you ought to try this. And he was studying up on it. And we got together and he actually taught me how to do brisket and pork. And then I took a lot of my recipes from my 30 years of being in the restaurant business and we combined them all together. And lo and behold, we had a hit.
You'd been in the restaurant business before?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's primarily all I've done for the last 30 years. And
I feel sorry for you.
It's a lot of work.
it's a terrible lot of work.
Yeah.
Having been in the restaurant business, you had to know, like you just said, how much work it is. Wouldn't it have been easier just to keep the food cart and not open a storefront too?
Yes.
I like that. Very definitive.
Yeah. Yes. It is. It is a lot easier. Either way, I, for several years, I was a restaurant consultant before I opened my cart.
Sure.
And I always told people you had to have three things. It's consistency, consistency, and consistency to be successful. You have to be consistent in your hours, consistent in your food, and consistent in your customer service. So no matter what you do, whether it be a food cart, you have to put your time in, and you're going to put long hours in. You know, I've worked anywhere between 70 and 80 hours a week for the last 6 years. And before that, when I ran restaurants and that kind of stuff, I always worked 60 to 80 hours a week anyway.
So, yeah, you were used to it.
Yeah, you get used to it after a while. Your body doesn't like it the older you get.
That's true. That's true. It takes me about a half hour in the morning to get everything going in the same direction.
Because
you kind of snap the joints back together.
Yeah. Yes. We just bought a house and it's got stairs. Them are oof.
Oh, you'll get rid of that one pretty quick. We're Flatlanders now.
Yeah.
When I grew up, we had these beautiful stone steps in the ranch house I grew up in, and a sunken living room and all that stuff. When we sold that, we moved into West Lynn. We had a two-story, which I hated even more because down to the basement or up, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Two-story was really almost like a three-story the way it was built. Now, one level.
A ranch.
One level, one level out to the back to the patio, one level out the front door to the car, one level. That's it.
That's great.
That's good. And it's easy to roll barbecues through the house, too.
Yeah, the wife don't like that too much.
I do it when she's not there. Quite
yeah, there you go.
I sneak it around. So what has been your kind of calling card, if you will?
My calling card?
I mean, is it your brisket? Is it your ribs? Is it your pulled pork? I mean, you even make hamburgers and stuff on kind of a regular restaurant menu.
Yeah. We have the regular. You know, it's hard to say. I brisket by far is our best seller.
Sure.
Brisket, it just flies out. People love brisket. Our pulled pork, we take a lot of pride in the fact that we still pull it by hand. We don't use pulling forks, and there's no fat in it. So I would have to say brisket is probably our main thing. It's all really good. When people come in and ask me what I think they should order, I say one of everything.
Oh, of course.
Well, of course. Yeah. That's what's good.
And you just said something that I think, I'm not sure we ever talked about here. We've talked about pulled pork many times as far as a menu item or eating it. But we've never talked about the art of actually pulling it. So share that with us.
Yeah, it's a hands-on. You let it cool off, and you drain your juices off, and you let it cool off, and you actually take all that fat out of it by hand. You don't. Mm. A lot of people use pulling forks and just pull the big chunks out. We take a lot of pride, and we have a lot of customers comment the fact that there's no pork in there, or no pork.
No fat.
No fat in there, yeah. So you just take the time. It's a little more time-consuming, but you get a better quality product. And then you take the juices that you took off of it and put it back into it and mix it all together, and you get that nice flavor.
Yeah.
So brisket, on the other hand, you need to have a little fat in there because brisket.
That's brisket. You can turn brisket into a 16-ply tire really easy.
Yeah, you can. You know,
with the steel-belted radial inside. I've done it. No, that's interesting because, like I said, I don't think we've ever talked about that. And you know, when you go to a barbecue retailer, not a restaurant, but somebody that sells grills, they pretty much have any accessory on the wall these days. Pulling forks, you know, meat forks, various tongs, fire starters. I mean, you go right down the line. But the one thing you can't buy is the patience and technique to do this.
Very true. Very true. And it does. If you want a quality product, you have to put the time in. It's not something that you can just whip together and have that good quality product where people are going to truly enjoy it and respect the fact that you've put so much effort into it. I believe that everything that has a bone or fat should be cooked with that bone or fat on it. Mm-hmm. And then you take it off later. And that's what I live by. It's bone and fat mean flavor. And then you take all that off in the process, especially with the pork. And even with our brisket, we trim a lot of the fat off at the end.
Now, do you use a whole brisket or you just use the flats like they use in competition?
Oh, no. I use the whole brisket.
The whole brisket?
The whole brisket. The flat and the point. We cut it all up, mix it all together so that you get a little bit of everything.
Sure.
And
I will be honest with you. I cheat a little bit when I have people coming over or anymore. If I'm cooking brisket like for TV or something, I just use the flats because of the time component.
Sure.
I mean, it still takes a long time, but I read a thing on the... one of the food sites today before coming in. Guy Ferrari has now mastered a quick brisket because he cooks it in a pressure cooker.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah. I'm kind of torn on that deal.
Yeah, I don't know how you get a... Well, I mean, you get a brisket, but you don't get a smoked brisket.
You don't get a smoked brisket, and you have to dump like 5 gallons of seasoning and sauce on it to make it work.
Yeah, we do. We do our brisket. Our pork, we cook for about 10 to 12 hours, depending. You know, everything cooks a little different. You can have two brisket that are exactly the same size and they cook at different times.
Right.
But they're usually 16 to 18 hours on our briskets.
Oh,
and we cook them to where they just fall apart.
I like that. Well, before we take a break, I want to tell you about Knob Hill Outfitters, LLC. They provide are providers of hearth and home products at deep, deep discounted prices. Right now, get the closeout on the pricing of all in-stock Enviro and Vistaflame wood, gas, and pellet stoves. Like the VF100 fireplace, it's a pellet insert, and it's on sale for only $22.99. It's $1,000 below the regular retail price. Okay, and they have Matt grills. Did I tell you about this last week? They have one remaining, a 2016 Mac 1 Star grill, $250 off the list price, and sawtooth grills, model 410, $899, regularly $1,100. So go see Jim at Knob Hill Outfitters on Lake Road in southeast Milwaukee there, inside Milwaukee Floral and Garden, or online at knobhilloutfitters.com. We're going to be back with Richard Burt from Burt's Barbecue in Newburgh right after this.
It's full-flavored radio. Barbecue Nation with JT.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. If you'd like to email us, you can do it at barbecuenation@kxl.com. Or if you want to send us a recipe, you can do it at recipes@kxl.com. And Mr. Reynolds.
That is me. Yes. Facebook, I'm assuming, is
That's
what you're going to be for.
Absolutely right.
Yep. Facebook.com/barbecuenation with JT.
There you go. I'd like to say hi to a couple of our affiliates out there, KWRO, down in Coos Bay, KPNW in Eugene, and 570 KVI in Seattle. That's our newest affiliate. Hello to everybody in Seattle. You know, that song from Nugent was Great White Buffalo. You ever eaten buffalo, a barbecued buffalo, smoked it or anything?
I've never smoked it. I've eaten buffalo burger, and I've had buffalo steaks.
Yeah.
They're very, very lean. It's almost like eating wild game. It's pretty nice.
I ate some buffalo hump in South America.
Was it good?
One of my trips down there. It was excellent. Also ate some Brahma hump.
Really?
In there. And I thought when they brought it to me, excuse me, I thought it was going to be just gristly and nasty. And this stuff was delicious.
Right on.
Yeah. They just brought it and they sliced it real thin. And it was almost like a carpaccio type thing. But man, it was, it was good. So, I don't know. Nugent probably eats buffalo all the time. I know he eats a lot of deer and venison and elk and stuff. Anyway, back to Richard Burt from Burt's Chuck Wagon in Newburgh, Oregon. Like I said, if you are on the way to the beach or to wine country or you just want to take a drive, Richard's restaurant is down there in Newburgh, and we will give the address a little later in the show. I like one of your sayings there, if it ain't messy, it ain't barbecue.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
How'd you come up with that?
Just watching people eat my barbecue.
Yeah. You give them bibs?
No, I don't give them bibs. I figure, no, they can use napkins.
Yeah.
But you should have barbecue on your hands and your face by the time you're done eating it.
I like it when you come out, it's all under your fingernails.
Amen.
That's you got little black and red stuff under your fingernails. Then you know you've been somewhere and done something.
Amen. Yeah. It's pretty great to see somebody. They'll just turn around and you ask them, how is everything? They'll turn around and have a big old smile and it's sauce and, and everything on their face. It's pretty nice.
How long does it take you to, like, develop a product? Because before we sat in the studio, you were talking to some of the folks out there, and you were talking about you got a new sauce coming out. And, I mean, like any barbecue guy, I'm sure you tinker with recipes and not the ones that are a home run, but things you might think about coming on the menu at some point. What's your development like on those?
Well, it takes time. I mean, you have to really think about what you're doing, and you got to have some kind of experience with making that kind of stuff.
Right.
Consult somebody that does. we have two different sauces we're going to be coming out, and we're going to be bottling all of our sauces here soon.
Good.
Right at the restaurant for sale. So that'll be a lot of fun. But it's the process, and with me, I just think in my head, probably way overthink it, but I think about it for probably months before I even start. I've made just about every kind of barbecue sauce you can think of. We're doing a charity thing at the Dundee School Auction, and we donate everything. Well, we get paired with either a winery or a brewery. So I got paired with Deception Brewing in Dundee, and they're bringing me some stout, and I'm making a stout barbecue sauce, and we're serving brisket.
There you go.
So you got
it. It works together.
It works really good together. And then I make like a Pinot barbecue sauce. That's the one I've been working on, and it pairs really, really good with the pork.
Yeah.
And the ribs. It doesn't pair as good with the brisket. So you got to think about what it's going to go with and how it's going to go.
What I try to tell people at home, if they're not into smoking and grilling and barbecuing, you know, frequently, that don't be afraid to experiment a little bit with the recipe. Recipes are, some of them are more like guidelines.
Exactly.
You know, if you get down and you've got a 37 ingredient list and you're down to, and I, people have heard me say this before, if you've got an eighth of a teaspoon of cumin, you're not getting anywhere with that. Yeah, you know, yeah. Stick with some of the basics,
yeah,
and a few of the flavors, you know, and play with it that way.
Very, very true. You know, it's like when you go to different places and when you eat meat or barbecue, you should taste the meat.
Right.
You shouldn't just taste the spices or just the sauces. You want to taste the meat. Brisket, I don't do anything fancy. I keep it real simple. I do salt, pepper, and garlic. That's all I do. And it brings out that beef flavor in it, and that's what I like. And same with our pork. Our rub is only 7 ingredients. So I've seen lists of rub, and I'm sure you have too, on where there's, you know, 38 ingredients in this rub. And it's like, why?
You know, why? You don't taste that. You know, 16th of a gram of parsley flakes. Yeah. I mean, you really don't.
No.
And you're kind of wasting time and money and effort into doing that.
Very
It's
true.
Funny how the more basic you stay with the way, you know, with the cooking process and the seasoning process in barbecue seems to be the most successful to me.
Yes.
Because people get out and say, oh, you know, this is my brand new kumquat rib rub. Great. I'm going to take the one with salt and pepper and garlic in it.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, exactly. And that goes true with the wood and how much wood and how much smoke you get.
Sure.
Because you can ruin a piece of meat by over smoking it.
Oh, yeah.
And it can still be raw and taste like you're eating a piece of smoked wood. You know, we use wine soaked oak. And what's really cool about that is it doesn't have the harshness of a lot of like raw oak, because the wine that's in it that has been in that barrel has taken away a lot of the tannins out of the the oak. And so you get a nutty kind of fruity smoke that's real light. And my theory is I only smoke it for 4 hours anyway, and then I wrap it, because meat has a tendency to only accept the smoke for about the first 4 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I do that too. I do. You wrap yours in what? Just
foil.
Just foil?
Yeah, we use foil pans.
I put parchment around mine, and then I put it in foil.
Oh, yeah.
And that still helps it smoke and break down and cook some more, but it's not as much work as it used to be.
Yeah.
When we were doing 16, 18 hours like that.
Oh, you bet.
Want to say hi to one of our new friends in Seattle, Bellevue Fireplace Shop, up there on 105th Avenue in Bellevue. Deanna and her crew up there. We're going to be up there in April. Doing a live remote from up in Seattle. So that'll be fun to meet everybody up there. We're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back with Richard Burt from Burt's Chuck Wagon Barbecue in Newburgh. And you got to go visit it. I'm telling you. We'll be back.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT.
Hey, we're back here on the Nation, on the Radio Northwest Network, around the state of Oregon and Washington. We've got Richard Burt from Burt's Chuck Wagon Barbecue down in Newburgh. I can tell you this. I ate some of his wares, you might say, a little bit before we came on the air here, and they were quite good. Now, it's not only barbecue. You are a chili guy, too.
Chili?
Yeah. You've won the St. Paul?
Oh, no. That was, we did, the barbecue cook-off has ribs, and then it's a potato salad, macaroni salad.
Okay. I guess I read that wrong then. So St. Paul's a good place to win.
St. Paul Rodeo. Yeah. Between me and my brother, we've won first place the last 4 years. And Donald Hazelnut Festival. We've won first place the last 4 years.
That's all down in my part of the world.
Yeah.
Down there.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah. I got, year before last, I won first place for the macaroni salad competition.
So, oh, good.
At St. Paul's.
Good, so, good.
Yeah, we have a good time.
What do you look for? I mean, where do you get your meats and stuff? I mean, are you're very selective, or you just take them in what comes off the truck, so to speak?
A little bit of both. you know, you got to have the best product for the best value if you want to make money. You can't just go and pay $10 a pound for brisket and expect to sell it for $8 a sandwich. It's just not feasible. I get, for me with brisket, the difference between choice and select is choice is a better cut. They say it's the same exact cut. It just has more fat.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it more tender.
Sure.
And it's not as feasible to buy choice if you're doing it in a restaurant because you're going to cook it for 18 hours anyway, and you get higher yield off of select than you do choice, and it tastes just as good. This is just years of trying different things. I get most of my meat from it's brought to me from Sysco, mm-hmm. and Fulton Meats is part of it that I get. And
sure.
They have some really good meats through there. IBP is got... They have a good quality.
Right.
And then if I run low, I run to Cash and Carry, you know. Yeah. And
I think every restaurateur in Oregon and Washington does it.
Yeah, yeah. So the spare ribs, pork butt, as long as it has a bone in it, I'm good with it.
You're good with it?
Yeah, I'm good with it. It's pork butt's pork butt.
Pretty much.
It is. There's not a whole lot of difference. When you start getting into, like, the picnics.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of fun to play with too, you know, instead of making ham, make pulled pork out of it. You'll be surprised.
I've done that.
It holds up a little bit better. It's a little firmer, but mix it with a regular pork butt and boy, you've got some great flavors. So,
well, yeah, all kinds of things can happen when you're mixing two butts together. That's what I've been told anyway. We do this little thing here, called the lightning round.
Oh no.
And you're kind of a rookie at this show, so we will have you back again. But the lightning round is, what would you call it, Reynolds? Absolutely worthless or what?
I'd say it's time filler.
Yeah, it's a time filler, and it's inconsequential questions. How's that?
So, okay.
Are you ready?
Sure.
We do this to the music of Mission Impossible. All right. We good? Okay. What was the hardest thing you had to learn about barbecue so far?
The hardest thing? Timing and temperature.
Timing and temperature. We get the pretty much the exact same answers from the people who know actually what they're talking about. So that's a good for you. What's your favorite seafood to work with?
Oh, I love
shrimp. Yeah? Yeah.
Shrimp or tuna? Well, tuna's not
seafood. Yeah, well, it comes from the ocean. So I guess, you know, what do you think the toughest skill for a beginning barbecue person to learn is?
Dedication.
Yeah.
It really is, and realizing how much time, how much effort it's going to take to do what you want. And you have to be dedicated, especially when you're barbecue.
Sure. What does the best day of activities contain for you, Richard? Away from work.
Away from work? Yeah. Besides the St. Paul Rodeo cook-off?
Yeah.
That's a day off for me.
Yeah.
I love to take the boat out on the ocean. I love to go ocean fishing. When I get a chance, I go hunting.
Good. Okay, now we're going to see if we can get an actual, what would this be, 89, 90? This is going to be about the 90th answer in a row. Liquid smoke should be used for what?
It depends. I really don't think liquid smoke should be used.
Okay, we'll accept that answer. What do you think, Reynolds?
But.
Okay, thumbs up.
There are times that you can use it to accent flavors, but not in. If you're making baked beans or something and a little bit more smoke in it, it's okay to put a baby spoon of liquid smoke in there. But, yeah.
I think it should be used to clean bumpers off of long-haul trucks. Anyway, where's the worst place you ever had to cook?
The worst place I ever had to cook, a nursing home. Many, many years ago.
Somebody lose their teeth or something?
Oh, no. It's just, no matter how good you cook, it smells always better.
That's true. I did a thing for, my mom lives in a assisted living thing, and this several years ago we did a barbecue for them. They actually put an ad in the paper, which I thought was kind of silly. Anyway, They expected about 300 to 400 people. We had about 600 to 800 that came in. Because if you put free food in the ad in a newspaper, I mean, somebody's going to respond. So like that. But they all, like, I was proud of them. They all marched up. They got their plates. They went through a couple times, you know, and did that. And then at the end, they gave their resident chef a crock because they said, why can't we eat like this all the time? So I felt really good. And he didn't like me anymore. What's the biggest mistake you've ever made during a competition?
The biggest mistake? I was cooking two racks of ribs and I dropped one on the ground.
Yeah.
I didn't use it. I ate it, but I didn't use it.
No 5-second rule?
No. For me, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I used too much spice in it. Uh-huh. And it was almost burn your face off.
Okay. What's the dumbest thing you've ever seen done with a grill or a smoker? Dumbest thing.
That I've ever seen?
Seen done. Not that, I'm not asking you to confess here. I'm saying, what's the thing you've seen done? If you want to talk about this in third person, it's okay.
Well, I watched a guy, and this was just online, so I haven't seen very many dumb things done. I mean, really dumb. There was a guy who thought he was pouring water to put his fire out, and it was gasoline that was in a water jug. And but it caught fire. It was rather funny.
Yeah.
But it was rather scary, and he got away fine. But that was probably the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And he's the one that he admitted he was the one that put the gasoline in that water jug.
And so he's got some issues there.
Yeah.
Here's one of our favorite questions. Ever cook in the snow in your underwear?
Shorts, not underwear.
So that counts.
Oh yeah, I've ran out and grilled or cooked, and oh, you bet.
So boxers or briefs?
No.
Commando Richard. Led Zeppelin or Slim Whitman?
Oh, Slim Whitman.
Really?
Oh yeah, I'm a country boy.
Well, I'm a country boy too, but I'd draw the line somewhere.
I like Led Zeppelin too.
Yeah.
Slim
Whitman. Ford or Chevy?
Well, I think I'm a Dodge guy.
You're a Dodge. Okay, that's legal. One piece of advice. We're running out of time here for this segment. One piece of advice for people that are grilling, smoking, or barbecuing at home that you would give. You're a pro. You own your own restaurant. You compete. You cook very well, I will tell them, and I would recommend people to go to your restaurant. But what piece of advice would you give the weekend warrior?
What piece of advice? Take your time and make sure that you have everything you need to get done.
Yeah.
And have fun. That's the key thing, is to have fun and enjoy it. And make sure your family and everything's happy for you to enjoy it.
That's
I know that
thing.
Sounds...
I'm
very into my good. Family.
No,
so,
that's
yeah.
good. We've got about a minute left, so I'm going to share this very bizarre story with you. Excuse me. This happened last fall. An Arizona man is accused of sacrificing the family poodle in the barbecue smoker as part of an atonement for his daughter's T-shirt that had to do with the devil. Okay, Patrick Zane Thompson grabbed his 17-year-old daughter's shirt, threw it into the fire. Okay? This was in Goodyear, Arizona. And witnesses told the authorities that then he demanded a male sacrifice from his 6-year-old son. So he either was going to barbecue the kid or barbecue the kid's poodle. Well, the poodle lost. Anyway, he's in the clink. You may remember him because they found him lying on the sidewalk saying the devil made him do it. He'd smoked about a pound of weed that day and said he was having an episode. So, you know.
Yeah, don't cook your dog.
Yeah, he's in the rubber room. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and wrap up Barbecue Nation right after this.
It's Barbecue Nation with Jeff Tracy.
The Motor City Madman here on Barbecue Nation, the new guy. He's crazy, but he's passionate. He's got a lot of passion about what he does. Speaking of passion, we've got about 3-4 minutes left here in the show. You've got some passions about helping people who But one thing we didn't touch on in the main body of the show, but it's kind of cool. So give me a couple minutes of that, would you?
Well, it's I truly believe in helping other people out. And it, like I was saying earlier, is if you're a success or you're successful, even a little bit, you should share that and you should help other people out. We do several things throughout the year. What I tell people is if you're going to the store and you're doing your grocery shopping and you see potatoes that are 99 cents a bag, buy a couple extra bags, take them down to your local food bank or take them to a soup kitchen or something sure. like that, because they'll always appreciate it.
Sure.
And if everybody does that, we have no hungry people. And we close down every year for Christmas Eve and we do a Feed the Hungry Day. Anybody, it doesn't matter who you are. We don't judge. We you're welcome to come in and have a free meal. We do this nice big spread. It's family buffet style, so everybody can sit down and enjoy themselves.
Have a second.
And oh yeah, they can have as many plates as they want.
Maybe they'll come to your place. Yeah. Not cook next year.
You know, just different things like that. We've done a lot of that, and we really like our community, and we really want to see our community thrive, and sure. we don't want to see anybody suffer. So we've done a lot of that. We do things with Relay for Life, with the different schools in town. We do all kinds of stuff.
That's good. I mean, I'm impressed, and I like that when people give back to the community.
We should.
You
know,
you should, yeah.
Without
you should.
Them, you wouldn't be in business.
Pretty so. Much. Yeah. Pretty much. Because when you get them, you get those people headed back north from the wineries, they probably have a tendency to drive on by. They want to get home.
Very true.
The Pinot has gone into their Beano.
Yeah, you know? A little too much of wine there, huh?
A little too much there. Is there anything you'd like to do that you haven't done yet with your barbecue business?
Yeah, there are several things that I would like to do. We definitely would love to expand and open another restaurant, either in Salem yeah. or in Portland. As far as... I would really like to travel around the world and try different barbecue and cook different barbecue for everybody else anywhere.
Yeah.
I'd love to go over to Australia and cook kangaroo, you know.
That's some grainy stuff. I'll yeah. tell you. I took a run with that and that's some stringy grainy stuff. Don't let them sucker you into trying to eat kangaroo jerky.
Oh. And then the other thing that we're going to do is my brother brews beer, and I love my little brother to death. And
sure.
I want him to experience the enjoyment of owning your own business and being your own boss. And so we're going to eventually open up a brewery and tap room, and he'll be brewing the beer, and I'll put my food cart out in front of it. We've got a potential location in McMinnville, so that'll be
pretty
fun.
Oh, cool. Cool. Yeah. Well, Richard, it's been great. Why don't you give everybody your website address, your URL, to be correct, and the phone number and that stuff real quick.
All right. Well, we're located at 203 Villa Road, Newburgh. We're just kitty corner from Walgreens, right on the main road. Our phone number is 503-560-8855. If you want catering done, you can call me on my cell at 971-261-9800. We do tons of catering, probably the cheapest price out there, by the way.
Sure. There you go.
And then our website is www.bertschuckwagon.com. That's B-E-R-T-S.
Not B-U. Chuckwagon. Not B-U.
Not B-U. Everybody wants to be you.
B-U?
Yeah.
I know everybody wants to be me, but I didn't know
they
wanted to be you, too.
So, yeah. Give us a call. Stop in. Have something to eat.
The food's great. Like I said, he sampled some for us here in the studio. And, Bert, it was a pleasure to have you on the show.
It was great being here.
You'll be back. It's a lot of fun. Again. Yeah, it is. It's kind of a fun show.
I love to talk about food.
I love to, too. We're going to get out of here for the week. And don't forget about our friends over at Knob Hill Outfitters over there in Milwaukee. And you can just call Jim over there. Go to Knob Hill. Get a discount on some barbecues or some hearths and home and all that stuff. Anyway, we'll be back next week for another edition of Barbecue Nation. Until that time. Please live by our motto, which is turn it, don't burn it. Isn't that right, Reynolds? Yeah, he's got the thumbs up. We'll see you next week, everybody. Check out thecowboycook.com if you have a minute. That's my website. Or our Facebook page, which Reynolds told you about earlier. All kinds of stuff. Okay, we're going to go away in, what, about 2 seconds? Works for me.
Oh, Barbecue Nation is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with JTSD Productions LLC. All rights reserved, copyright 2016. Barbecue Nation is managed skillfully by Reynolds in production compound 4 high above the skyline of PDX, the one with no windows. We'll be back next week with another entertaining and fun edition of Barbecue Nation. At least, that's what we believe. Remember, a good long smolder is better than a 2-minute flameout. See you next week.